listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
How we doing? Football Friday, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. So we were talking to Willie Gay, who joined us at 6:20 p.m. Eastern, and we brought him on. I wanted to ask him about his comments that he made the other day when he was standing by his locker and he was asked, what impresses you the most about the Bengals offense? And he said, nothing. So we brought him on, and he said he thought the comments were blown out of proportion. Like, what else do you want me to say? We know they have a good team, all that, blah, 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 blah. But Hickey, I went back to the original video, and this video was posted yesterday at 1:29 p.m. Eastern. And I knew this was a big deal. Like, if you watched all the shows today or you listened to all the shows, if it was the first story or if it wasn't, at one point this was discussed, because it's just something else that adds up. Where from the Bengals, you have them calling Arrowhead Stadium, right, Burrowhead. And this is kind of like really the first instance where the Chiefs like actually do clap back here. And it's like their big moment of smack talk. Like, if you look at the two smack talks probably heading into this week, Hickey, when it comes to this game, probably from the Bengals side, it is the Burrowhead. And then from the Kansas City Chiefs side, it's going to be Willie Gay saying nothing impresses him about the Bengals offense. Like, there's nothing else from this week, Hickey, that really jumps out to you. Those are probably the two biggest storylines, correct?
I mean, Chris Jones, I guess that kind of goes into the first one, calling it Burrowhead, so acknowledging that, you know, They're motivated by it. But I guess it does go into the first Mike Hilton comment, but yeah.
Okay. So how many views from this video that was released yesterday at 1:29 p.m. Eastern, how many views do you think are on this video? Because I thought it was a big deal. I didn't realize it was this big of a deal, what Willie Gay said.
A million? I have no idea.
1.2 million. Think about that. Like, you see videos that go viral. 350,000 views, 400,000 views, 500,000 views. When you get into, like, 700,000, 800,000, 900,000, like, that's a different level. And you hit over a million, that's ridiculous. 1.2 million over Willie Gay just saying, yeah, nothing impresses me about this Bengals offense. Like, don't get me wrong. A lot should, and I even said it to him, people would just expect, right, in your typical answer, you praise Joe Burrow, you praise Jamar Chase, you praise T. Higgins, you want to throw a nice comment to the way of Joe Mixon, and that's it. But just a little bit of, I guess you could say, a contrarian thought or something that we don't expect an athlete to say leading up to a game, it does 1.2 million views. That really does blow my mind, Hickey.
I mean, it just shows the heightened, you know, sense when it comes to this big game. You know, it's gotten a lot of juice this week. So, yeah, I mean, even though it's...
Well, 1.2 million. That's ridiculous.
You know, one quick question, one quick answer.
Because it wasn't as if he went off on the Cincinnati Bengals. It wasn't like, oh, this guy sucks, this guy stinks, this guy's horrible. What impressed you about the Bengals? Nothing. That does 1.2 million views. Blows my mind. Anyway, Tua Tagovailoa. You kind of forget about the Tua story just because he's not playing right now. And we know that he entered concussion protocol on December 26th. He did not play again, did not play in the wild card weekend. So you had, at the end of the year, Chris Greer say, I can't state it enough, I can't make this more clear than it already is, that Tua Tagovailoa is our quarterback. And when he says that, I think you take it with a grain of salt because they have voiced their confidence in Tua before, whether it was with their old coach, though, in Brian Flores. He didn't really trust and believe in Tua Tagovailoa. And Chris Greer, who is a leftover from the whole Brian Flores era. And I know Chris Greer's been in the organization for a long time, but you look at them as a partnership. Flores gets fired. You know everything else that happened with the lawsuits that ended up coming and the tampering and all that. But Chris Greer stayed in the organization, stayed in his role. And Chris Greer supposedly has always supported, and I say that in air quotes, Tua Tagovailoa, and has been a Tua Tagovailoa guy, but he's also the same guy that has been the general manager while Stephen Ross was trying to get Tom Brady to join the team. And also, you could go back to last offseason, or last season, they tried to go get Deshaun Watson. Now, you could say maybe that was more influenced by Brian Flores on the Deshaun Watson front. The Brady thing is clearly Stephen Ross, but with an organization, even though there's been changing people in this organization, but Chris Greer's remained the same and Stephen Ross is still owning the team, the only one that's really changed is Brian Flores, you still have people that weren't all in on Tua as recent as last year. So for them to say that Tua is their guy, I would not fully believe that until there is an offseason when there isn't a report that they have thought about replacing Tua Tagovailoa. Now, here's where it gets complicated. Because the Pro Bowl is coming up next week. And I know no one really cares about the Pro Bowl. And they've totally remodeled the entire Pro Bowl. Like, I didn't care about the Pro Bowl either. But Tua had a good season this year. And I guess you obviously have to clear concussion protocol to participate in any of these Pro Bowl activities. But a tweet goes out there that Tua Tagovailoa is still in concussion protocol and will not participate in any Pro Bowl activities. So you kind of forget, yeah, he was in concussion protocol, right? He suffered two concussions this year. I think he suffered a third concussion. I'm not a doctor, though. In that game up against Buffalo where he stands up, he falls down, they said it was a back injury. So the game up against... it was Cincinnati, and then the second concussion that he suffered. Who were they playing that game, do you remember?
Packers, Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right, where he threw the three interceptions in the fourth quarter, and the concussion spotter wasn't able to spot that he concussioned from a hit earlier in the first half. But the people that couldn't spot that he had a concussion, right, you had the NFL telling you that he didn't have a concussion in that Bills game, and then 4 days later with the whole world watching in that Thursday night football game, he suffers a concussion. So I think he suffered at least three concussions last year. The NFL, though, says two, so I guess that's what we're going to have to go with. But once the season does end, you don't really think about concussion protocol because there's no game for the guy to play. But the fact that he still hasn't cleared concussion protocol, and I don't know what you exactly have to do to clear concussion protocol, but that is concerning. And I know it was concerning even before we see this that he wasn't able to clear concussion protocol, but you then start to wonder, is he going to be able to play next year? Or if he is cleared to play, I know his family did say the other day that Tua's not thinking about retiring and he won't retire, but if he suffers one more concussion, you may go without an entire season of Tua. And bare minimum, if you don't bring in a competent backup this year, and I know they had Teddy Bridgewater, but if you don't bring in someone that could, like, I don't believe in Teddy Bridgewater over an entire span to the season, so if you don't bring in a better backup, or you may be looking at it as we can't trust Tua, unfortunately, because it's a shame to say it, he's had all these concussions, they may look to replace him outright. So I wonder, For the Dolphins, if there even has to be a date of what he needs to clear concussion protocol, for them to not go that line of thinking, I'm thinking that in a team that's tried to replace him in every way possible the last 2 years or so, I think they're going to be looking this year. Now, if you tell me it's Derek Carr or if it's Jimmy Garoppolo, I know Mike McDaniel worked with Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if they think that is worth it for those two players. But if, let's say, they could trade for Aaron Rodgers, or let's say they could trade for Tom Brady, that's a totally different conversation. Because I don't think there's a very high ceiling for Carr or for Jimmy G. Would it improve the quarterback position? Yeah, it would. Because I think you could rely on those guys a little bit more, but then you could also say for Jimmy G, that guy's hurt every other year as well. Now, at least it's not a head injury, obviously. And for Derek Carr, like, I don't think he's all that great, but I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze on Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo if you have Tua there, even if Tua is a question mark. But you could go get Brady or Rodgers, then that is a totally different conversation, Ryan.
Honestly, even if it is Derek Carr, if I'm the Dolphins, I got to do it. You know me, I'm a Tua fan.
Really? Wow. You
can't trust him. And it's not his fault.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where, I mean, forget about missing the season. One more concussion and, you know, his career could be over.
You almost don't even want him to play.
So,
but,
yeah.
Like, even right now, like, yeah. How many people said it when he suffered the second concussion? I don't want to see this guy play. You know, he shouldn't play. So he suffers one more. You got to think he's out for the entire season.
And when you make the trade and give Tyreek Hill the contract that you did, you are now a Super Bowl or bust. You're not rebuilding. You are now playoffs every single year. We're going to try to make a run at it. You cannot look your team in the face if you're Mike McDaniel, if you're Chris Greer, making the decisions and saying, we're going to go with this massive question mark in two, which if he's healthy, he's good, as we saw. But you can't guarantee that he's healthy. You can't guarantee that he's not going to suffer another concussion or another injury, which we've seen he's been injured prone the first 3 years. Yeah. You have to prioritize availability right now over everything else. So even though I think Derek Carr is I would rather have Tua or Derek Carr in a vacuum. I'd rather have Tua. With that said,
I
take Derek Carr.
I think there's more upside with Tua.
Yes, I would agree. But Derek Carr has been on the field outside of, you know, the one ankle injury in like 2016. He's been there. And right now, availability is your best ability right now because you can't go into next year banking on Skylar Thompson playing in another playoff game. You can't do it.
Well, here's the tough part, though. If you bring in, like, Derek Carr, Jimmy G, what do you do with Tua?
Trade him, cut him. It's sad, but that's the reality.
Wow.
You can't have him back up.
No, you can't. Because if Tua is cleared to play, I'd rather see Tua on the field than Carr or Jimmy G. So that's why I don't think the Dolphins will think the juice is worth the squeeze there. But for an older guy like a Brady or Rodgers, who are clearly more accomplished and well respected in the league, like, not saying you don't have respect for Carr, not saying you don't have respect for Jimmy G, but there's just a different aura around those two guys. I think that, from an optic standpoint, even though it's the same end result, you're moving on for two either way, it makes it easier to justify it. So it'd be fascinating to see how this plays out. Now, just to be clear, Tua was not voted into the Pro Bowl. He was the first alternate. So, Burrow was, you had Mahomes, obviously, his Pro Bowl. Was Burrow?
Yes,
to be Pro Bowl.
That's why he's going to go, either
yeah,
one. Because Burrow or Mahomes, or one of them is going to go to the Super Bowl, and that's why Tua is going to slide and take their spot. So he's basically guaranteed to go.
And then I'm assuming Josh Allen was the other Pro Bowl quarterback in the AFC?
Off time, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, right? That would probably make sense. Oh, Herbert, maybe? Like, let's see. This shows you how irrelevant the Pro Bowls are.
But either way, Tua is going, and now he's not going.
Yeah, because he was the first alternate there. Let's just see real quickly. I want to see if I could pull up and see who are the Pro Bowl quarterbacks in. Oh, this one said Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. Is that right?
There's no way that's right.
Right?
You're looking at the right year?
Yeah. 2022 Pro Bowl players by position.
Hey, this is probably 2023.
Oh, yeah, you're probably
that's,
right.
I hate that, but that's, yeah, they're doing 2023.
Well, can you look it up?
I am looking it up right now.
Okay, look it up and let me know who was elected to the Pro Bowl this year. But either way, Tua was the first alternate. He can't clear concussion protocol.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Okay, I was going to say, that didn't make Lamar barely even played the second half of the season. So who are the three? Did we get it right?
Yeah, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow.
Okay, cool. So either way, you're going to have Tua Tagovailoa go, and now he hasn't cleared concussion protocol. So, this offseason, and you even heard John Kuhn say it when he was with us the other day, he could think Miami could be a destination. He also listed the Jets. He also listed the Raiders for Aaron Rodgers. You could see maybe, just maybe, if Rodgers does get traded, Miami being a destination. But the Brady thing probably makes the most sense. You get Stephen Ross is Mr. Michigan. Brady's Mr. Michigan. They already tried to go get him before. and you had tampering that was involved on that with the whole yacht. And I don't know how big of a deal this is, because Brady Wright could get anywhere. But if Brady's living in Miami, his kids are living in Miami regardless of where he plays football. Did you see that video the other day? And that's what people forgot about, that video where that guy was like creepily filming Brady as he's touring his kid's school in Miami. His kids are going to school in Miami regardless of where he plays football. But there was some, I don't even know if it was a reporter, if it was a kid. I don't know who it was, but he goes, "Oh, Tom, how about the Dolphins?" And then that video, of course, went viral. So if I had to guess between Rodgers or Brady, who's more likely to be playing in Miami next year? I would think it's Brady, just with the history with Stephen Ross. And then maybe the personal life does play a factor why Brady would want to go there.
Probably, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers, look at those receivers that you want. And Dolphins, you know, are a team that's, you know, in the mix for a trade. And if you're not going to need a number one overall, you know, no, a first round pick to trade for Aaron Rodgers, Dolphins are right there.
But you don't have to give up anything to go get Brady. You have to give up something to go get Rodgers.
True, but I mean, do they see Tom Brady's one and done? 1 year left? You see, you know, the window is slightly more open with Aaron Rodgers.
Could you maybe get the best of both worlds? Could you say Brady plays for a year or two, we don't think he should be playing? So, you know, take a year off and then we'll regroup and go back to you the year after that. Like, it's a weird thing to do, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, I thought you meant best of both worlds, what the caller said last week of having both Rodgers and Brady.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Rodgers playing the first half, Brady finishing in the second half. Nah, I'm in for that. That could work. That's what I thought you meant, best of both worlds. All right, let's get both. What the hell?
Because the Dolphins, they had their first-round pick taken away, and then they gave up a first-round pick to go get Bradley Chubb. You got to think a first-round pick is going to be netted for Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, you see some reports as more of a mid-round pick going to get the job done, more of a salary dump.
A conditional, I don't know. A conditional, too, that ended up being a one went for Carson Wentz from Philadelphia to Indianapolis.
And if you're a team taking on $60 million, you know, that's not a lot of teams can do that.
I would be shocked if Rodgers gets traded, and bare minimum, it's not a conditional two that turns out to be a one. I would think it would be a one outright, and the Dolphins don't have that. Anyway, we'll see what the Dolphins do this offseason, but unfortunate news there as Tua, not that we care if he participates in the Pro Bowl or not, but he still hasn't cleared concussion protocol. So you do continue to think about Tua, and hopefully he could recover pretty soon, because that's scary when you talk about December 26 when he entered the concussion protocol, and you know he already suffered two concussions in the season. To still not be able to get cleared out of that, definitely concerning, and we'll see how the Dolphins approach that future this offseason. Take a break. We'll come on back. We'll go out to the Bay Area as Matt Maiocco is probably making his way over to Philadelphia from the Bay Area. He covers the 49ers. He'll preview the NFC title game next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Some folks don't stop till they find the truth. June's Journey is a roaring 20s murder mystery hidden object game. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android or iOS devices and on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We get you set for the NFC title game. I'll be at Lincoln Financial Field this weekend for a little Eagles and 49ers. Winner will get their ticket to the Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks in Glendale, Arizona. And now joining us is a man that covers the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area and KNBR, and that's Matt Maiocco. Matt, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, just like you, counting down the days until we can stop talking about it and actually watch and see what happens on Sunday.
The quarterback position, as you know, has been greatly discussed in San Francisco the last few years. To see what Brock Purdy is doing in the last month and a half or so, just how do you describe what you're witnessing and what you're covering on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. You know, most of the times when a team loses its starting quarterback, the season's over. Certainly when a team loses their top two quarterbacks, the season's over. But Brock Purdy came in, and he just, you know, he played a lot of football in college at Iowa State and won some games and lost some games there. And I think that whole experience kind of taught him poise and composure, and he looks the part. I mean, he just seems unflappable. And pretty much every time he stepped in, there was a new challenge thrown his way. And so far, he's checked every box. And, you know, obviously the big one is coming up on Sunday, facing a potent pass rush, a really good defense, you know, one, the best pass rush in the NFL. And, you know, what gives him confidence, I think, too, and I just asked him about this today, and he said that he doesn't feel all that much pressure because the 49ers have so many playmakers, and his job is really just to make sure they get the football. So he doesn't put any more pressure on himself than he already has because he feels like he just has a really good supporting cast. And as long as he leans on them, he feels like he'll be okay.
So you don't think the stage will be too big for him in Philadelphia? Because everyone keeps on waiting for that rookie moment, right, to happen and for the clock to hit 12 for Cinderella. And every week it just does not happen.
I don't think the stage is too big for him. Now, you know, might he make a bad throw? Might he make a mistake? Yeah, of course. All quarterbacks do. But, you know, he's just done such a really good job at taking care of the football. You know, in the 8 games that he's played since he's taken over, 3 interceptions. One of them was off the hands of one of his receivers, and he's yet to fumble. So I think that if he does have a bad game, it won't be because the moment is too big for him. He just is a very... He's a unique kid. I mean, he's 23 years old, and you just watch him play, and he has pocket presence. He understands the game. I don't think the moment is too big for him, but that's not to say that, you know, he might have a bad game or the Eagles might be doing things defensively that make it really difficult on him. But I don't think it'll be because he wilted under the pressure.
Do you think he'll be the starting quarterback for this team week one next year?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I just don't think that he's done anything that would make you, as a 49ers organization, even consider trying anybody else. I mean, you know, obviously Trey Lance is the guy they traded up for and selected him number 3 overall in the 2021 draft. But we know more about Brock Purdy right now and how he runs the 49ers offense than we know about Trey Lance. And if Brock Purdy were the number 3 overall pick in this last draft, the 49ers would feel very fortunate that they drafted him. So, you know, I think at some point, you know, draft status, whether you're pick number 3 or pick number 262, it doesn't matter how you got into the league. It becomes who's the best quarterback for this team, and it's hard to make any kind of argument that anybody other than Brock Purdy is the best quarterback for this team.
Would you still anticipate that Lance is on the team next year, or do they maybe look to move him this offseason?
I would think that he would stay on the team. I don't see any reason to trade him. A, I don't know that they could get a lot for him, and he's been in the league for 2 seasons. And if the 49ers are ready to move on from him, that in itself, I think, would hurt his trade value. But also, I mean, you have some high-priced guys on this team. And Nick Bosa probably this offseason is going to be paid as the top defensive player in the league with a new contract. So if you can have 2 quarterbacks that you really like, both on rookie contracts, I think that's an incredible advantage for the 49ers from a salary cap standpoint. So I don't see any scenario, or I just find it hard to believe that the 49ers will have another quarterback on the team in addition, or not, I should say, not named Brock Purdy or Trey Lance. I just think that, to me, it looks pretty obvious that Brock Purdy and Trey Lance are going to be on this team. It's the only question is in what order, and right now it's difficult to even think that Brock Purdy won't be the number one guy in the depth chart when the offseason begins.
Matt Maiocco here with us. From the health standpoint of the Niners, we know McCaffrey's dealing with that calf injury, Debo with an ankle. What can you tell us about those two players and their injuries?
Yeah, both of those guys are full go. They're ready. They weren't even listed on the injury report. Debo practiced limited throughout the week. McCaffrey returned to practice today. The good news for him is it's a calf contusion. It's not a strain. And so, I mean, he said yesterday, I guess it was, that you know there was zero chance that he was not going to play in this game. The big question mark is Elijah Mitchell, the backup running back, and somebody that they like to sprinkle in there with McCaffrey or give him a breather from time to time. He's questionable for this game. But, you know, as far as the 49ers roster goes, they're about as healthy right now as they've been all season. So you know, I think what you're going to see on Sunday, two teams playing at a high level, both teams pretty healthy, and yay, may the best team win.
It's really crazy, Matt, because I know when you get later in the year and the fewer teams, you always expect it to be two heavyweights at the end of the year, but in some years you see one advantage a team has over another. These teams are pretty much as even as you could get.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think you can make a case. I'm sure people in Philadelphia made the case that the Eagles have maybe a little bit better talent. I think that when you look at the Eagles, they probably have the better offensive line and the better defensive line, but both teams like to rotate a lot of defensive linemen onto the field, you know, in the mix as far as, you know, maybe eight or nine guys active, and they're all playing. They're all, you know, playing with a lot of energy and staying fresh throughout the game. But, I think the 49ers and the Eagles both have tons of playmakers on their team. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think the 49ers have played a team like the Eagles this season, but I think the same could be said for the Eagles. I don't think they played a team like the 49ers either.
Matt Maiocco here with us. So we know the 49ers, the best part of their team, and they have a wonderful team, is the defense. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts, I was in Philadelphia last week. His shoulder looked fine to me. What do you think gives it in that matchup between a great 49ers defense and then a, as you said, a very talented Eagles offense led by Hurts?
I have no idea. I mean, to me, this game is strength versus strength. And the Eagles have a top-notch offense. The 49ers defense is ranked number one in the league in yards allowed and points allowed. The 49ers will be tested in many ways. You know, they did give up some big plays down the stretch of the season. The Eagles will have some opportunities to make big plays. 49ers got to stay on the same page. When you look at, you know, even the coordinator matchups, Shane Steichen and D'Amico Ryans, two guys who are up for NFL assistant coaches of the year. If Nick Bosa, if the Eagles can find a way to contain Nick Bosa and keep Jalen Hurts from feeling a lot of pressure, then I think the Eagles are going to be very difficult to beat in this one. And I mentioned that Eagles offensive line, you know, four of those guys could be playing really good football every snap, but if the guy matched up against Bosa, whoever that is, if that person gives up some hits and some pressures and a strip sack or a couple sacks, then that's an equalizer. So it really is. I mean, just strength versus strength, both sides of the ball. Who are the most balanced teams in the league going at it.
On the way out with Matt Maiocco, who does a great job covering the 49ers. You mentioned D'Amico Ryans. It appears like he's in his final season with the Niners. He's going to get a head coaching job. I saw a report today that he's emerged as the top candidate for the Texans job. Just what are you hearing? Are you hearing pretty much what's been out there about D'Amico Ryans?
Yeah, I mean, I just asked Kyle Shanahan about him today, and he said he's having opportunities, and he interviewed with the Broncos, he interviewed with the Texans. I just kind of knew that, you know, once he got in the door, he was going to impress some teams. I would think that, you know, my best guess is that he would end up with one of those two coaching jobs. at the same time, I also know that he's not desperate. You know, he's still a young guy, and if it just doesn't feel right to him, then he's coming back to the 49ers as defensive coordinator. I don't sense that he is in any rush to take a job that he just doesn't feel good about. So he's going to be very judicious in how he approaches this and which job, if any, he accepts. But I think any team that hires DeMeco Ryans as their head coach is one lucky team.
Last thing I'll ask you about, Maiocca, obviously the start of every game is important, but being in that environment in Philadelphia, what type of start do you think the Niners get off to coming up on Sunday?
Well, they better get off to a good one because I don't think that they can afford to fall behind by a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, we saw how that worked for the New York Giants last week. It didn't work very well. Now, obviously, the 49ers are a better team than the New York Giants, but the 49ers aren't necessarily built to be coming back from big deficits. 49ers need to get that run game going. They need to be able to take some of the juice out of the Eagles' pass rush. And that's the key. I mean, that's one of the many keys in this game. If McCaffrey can run the ball, if the 49ers offensive line can fire out and make some way as far as the running game goes, then that's going to help them. I mean, if they're able to maybe throw the ball on run downs and run the ball on some passing downs and find some success that way, that would be the way that the 49ers could negate the Eagles' pass rush.
Matt Maiocca, safe travels. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Zach, take care.
There you go. Matt Maiocca joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area, KNBR as well. This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free, all on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, and it's all sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. We'll come on back with a news brief.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, it is news brief on The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we all saw the clip by now of Mike Hilton after the Bengals did go into Buffalo and slay the Buffalo Bills. He was on the sideline and he said, "We're going to Burrowhead next week." That, of course, is Arrowhead, where the Kansas City Chiefs do play. And Chris Jones wants to fire a little shot back at Mike Hilton to end his press conference.
Eliminate all distractions. Take care. See y'all at Burrowhead.
I love that. Because that is coming from a large, vicious man, right, in Chris Jones. And he basically gave a little memo to the Bengals. And that memo was, "I see you. I hear you. I hear that energy you have. Keep that energy at the end of the game, pretty much. But here's the one problem for Kansas City. It's really tough for Kansas City to kind of fight back on any of the Bengals' claims. Now, even though of those three victories that they had, only one was in Kansas City up against the Chiefs. The other two were in Cincinnati. But when a team has constantly defeated you three straight times in a row, Hickey, it's not like you can really have that much trash talking being done back by the Chiefs until you actually find a way to defeat them.
Right, which is why I think for the most part you've heard more trash talking, I would say, from the Bengals side than you have so far from the Chiefs side.
Well, funny you say that, because Willie Gay Jr., who joined us earlier, will play his clip after this one just coming up in just a moment, but let's hear the initial clip. This is Willie Gay Jr. saying the Bengals offense doesn't impress him.
What is it about that Bengals offense that maybe impresses you the most? You've played them a few times?
Nothing.
Okay.
So there you go. You know what, the more I think about this now, Hickey, the Chiefs' approach this week is we're not really going to say anything about them. Now, by saying nothing in the response to that, you're basically saying something that's going to be used as bulletin board material. It's going to be used as a shot and all that. But you hear Chris Jones, and you'll see it, Burhead. And then Willie Gay, it's a layup question. Should be an easy answer. He just says nothing, nothing. It's almost as if they're just taking everything in. And ultimately, they say they're ready. We'll see if they're ready coming up on Sunday. Now, the start of the game, that's one thing. When you get into that second half, they have struggled the last three times immensely up against what the Cincinnati Bengals do offer. And Mahomes has looked human in those second halves. And that defense has blown leads. So we'll see how this plays out in that second half. But let's hear Willie Gay on with us. We asked him to go into further detail about his comments that you just heard, where he says nothing impresses him with the Bengals offense. I also saw a clip of you saying when you were asked what impresses you about the Bengals, you said nothing. Why is that? Why is it nothing?
Well, I mean, what you want me to say, man, they got the best offense in the league. You know, like, I mean, they're a great, great team. You know, I just, you know, people kind of blew it up. I understand that's what y'all do. You know, that's what y'all supposed to do, but I'm not impressed by just anything specifically, you know, so.
I think a lot of people just see the comments, and you said earlier how much respect you have for Joe Burrow, but you just look at all the names they have on their offense. You thought you'd probably get a response on how good Joe Burrow was, right? And Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins probably as well. That's what probably people were looking for, I would imagine.
Oh, I guess so, man. But, you know. Like I say, I'm just ready to play this game. Of course, they're a great team. They wouldn't be here if they wasn't, you know, great players all over on both sides of the ball. So we're just ready to, you know, get on that field, man, and let the work do the talking.
So there you go. That was Willie Gay when we asked him to expand a little bit on his comments that saying nothing does impress him with the Bengals offense. All righty, let's go to Ja'Marr Chase. Hickey, I think you would agree. He's pretty impressive for the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Decent.
Not decent. What are you, like Willie Gay right now?
Not impressive. I wouldn't draft him at number 5, that's for sure.
Okay. So you're the Willie Gay of CBS Sports Radio? Kind of fits you a little bit. Here's Ja'Marr Chase responding to the Willie Gay comments.
Willie, the linebacker. Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
I ain't got no response for him. We gonna get him. I ain't got no response.
Wow. I haven't heard that one yet. That's a good find by you, Hickey. Because really, I just mainly saw the T. Higgins response, and it wasn't really anything. That's a good one. That, like, Willie the linebacker. Oh, yeah. Fine.
We gonna get him.
That would be as if, let's just say, you started talking smack about me. Or let's not make this about me. Let's say you started talking smack about D.A., right? Maybe there was a rivalry between you and D.A. And D.A. goes, wait, who said that? Oh, Ryan, the producer? Oh, that guy? Oh, okay. That's kind of would be the equivalent in what we do. Wow. That's a pretty strong stance. How many penalties are going to be in this game? Because that, you can't lose your cool. Can't have in sports-like conduct penalties in this. It would not surprise me if there is a few penalties here and there in that game, a little extra shoving after the whistle.
I don't know. I don't know. I think they're doing a lot of talk. I feel like they will be clean for the most part. Big game. Can't let, like you said, you can't let, you know, can't be having stupid 15-yard penalties extend drives.
But it happens. It does happen. Andy Reid says the Bengals defense is a very tough test.
They have a pretty healthy amount of defensive things that they've done throughout the year. And I'm sure they'll have a wrinkle here or there for us coming into this one.
All right, let's go to Joe Burrow. He says the Chiefs are still the kings of the AFC.
We know what team we're playing. Team that's been to this game the last five seasons, and they've all been in that stadium. So, to me, they're still the team to beat.
Do you still look at them, Hickey, as the team to beat? Kansas City?
It's a fascinating question.
I would say yes, because how many... Now, people did disrespect the Chiefs before the start of the season. But there was a lot more disrespect to the Bengals. But if the Bengals win this weekend, you can't just say, oh, it was a one-year wonder. Because then that would be back-to-back years that they beat you in the regular season and then beat you in the AFC title game. Like, if the Bengals win this game, going into next year, they, regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl, they are the team to beat in the AFC because they would be the only team that really put a dent in the armor. And not only took a dent in the armor, they've overtaken the armor of the Kansas City Chiefs if they find a way to beat them twice last year, which they did, and then twice this year, which they could do coming up on Sunday.
Actually, the Bengals are the team to beat on Sunday. They beat them last year. They're the reigning AFC champs. And in order to beat the champ or be the champs, you got to beat the champs.
But that's a different question.
And they beat them three times in a row.
That's a different question in terms of who you think's going to win the game coming up on Sunday.
No, team to beat is the Bengals.
But do you think that is nationally the way that this is perceived? That the if I went down the street right now and said who's the team to beat in the AFC, you think everyone's going to say the Bengals?
Well, nationally, no. But nationally or realistically? Well, realistically, they beat them three times in a row. If they beat them last year in the playoffs, the Chiefs can't beat them.
But that's the point of this
conversation. How can the Chiefs be the team to beat if they haven't beat them and they lost them last year and the Bengals are the reigning AFC champs? Like, think about it. Like, how can the Chiefs truly be the team to beat?
Agreed. Logically, I understand what you're saying, but I still think that if we asked people a month ago, like, who's the team to beat in the AFC, I still think people, even with the Bengals beating them this year, would say Kansas City, would say Buffalo before getting to Cincinnati. I just think that's the way that it's kind of been perceived, where everyone keeps on doubting the Cincinnati Bengals and they just keep on winning. If they win this weekend, there's just no explanation. There's no justification why next year you couldn't go into the season saying the Bengals like aren't the team to beat. Like, they have to be the team to beat because then they would do it back-to-back year. So I don't know if everyone has caught up to that yet, but if they do it once again on Sunday, then everyone will catch up to it. Let's go to Kyle Shanahan. He says the Eagles defense is very tough to beat.
You try to put guys in position to beat their players, and they got pretty good players too. And on top of it, when you have a real good pass rush with good back end with all seven of those guys, it just combines for making everything more difficult.
And let's go to Debo Samuel, who says the team isn't worried about a loud environment in Philly.
We know it's going to be loud, but no stadium is as loud as ours. But at the end of the day, you know, they're at home, NFC Championship, they're going to be all riled up, and, you know, we don't really feed into all that. You know, we put the pads on and just go to work.
Oh, they're going to be really loud in Philadelphia. And I guarantee you this. And the Niners have great fans, but Lincoln Financial Field is much louder than the stadium that is in Santa Clara. All righty, let's go to Romeo Doubs. He was on the Maggie and Perloff show right here, right before us on CBS Sports Radio. And he says he never hung out with Aaron Rodgers outside of the facility.
I didn't get a chance to hang out with him, but...
Not one time he didn't take you guys out?
One time. I mean, as far as being around 12, I'd say possibly it's always been football. So, I mean, in the building, on the practice field, there was never a time where, you know, got really...
Is that really a big deal, Hickey?
Yes, big deal. Young, inexperienced receivers, you talk about Aaron Rodgers being hands-off in the preseason, not going to OTAs, not really wanting to work with them, complaining about them not being very good, and then just kind of ignoring them. Like, you have to build a relationship with them, and that is more than just X's and O's.
But can't you build a relationship in the office compared to doing it outside the office? And remember, there's a big age difference there. Like, the lifestyle that probably younger players on the team live is maybe not the one that Aaron Rodgers does live.
Okay, but you would say that Romeo Doubs is pretty important for Aaron Rodgers' success. So whether it's going to a place that Aaron Rodgers normally wouldn't go to, whether it's Romeo Doubs going to a place he wouldn't normally go to, you got to build chemistry.
But can't you build chemistry in the office? Like, I get what you're saying,
sort of,
but
like, it's different.
I think we have pretty good chemistry. I don't think we've ever hung out outside of the office, unless it's been on a work trip.
I would say you need that. Yes. Aaron Rodgers has to be knowing these guys outside of just facility. And again, it makes it also, when you're criticizing them, it makes it, you wonder why they kind of push back on or are sensitive to it. That's part of the reason why he doesn't know them.
Like, don't get me wrong. I do think it's bizarre, because you would think that they would hang out at least one time outside of the facility, but I don't think it is that big of a deal. And I think a lot of times, right, there's coworkers that you have that you could be very close with in the office, but you don't really know what they are like outside of the facility, and they could still find the way to mesh on a football field. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. 5 questions, 5 answers. Next, we'll do a little onside, offside.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Some folks don't stop searching till they find the truth. And if you've got the eye of a detective, June's Journey is the game for you. Play as June Parker in a gripping murder mystery adventure as you find hidden objects to help solve her sister's death. You'll hunt for clues in hundreds of beautifully illustrated scenes set in the roaring 20s. With more than 1,000 scenes filled with clues, there's always something new to discover. You may even trek across the globe for your next lead. Every week, new chapters are added with new characters to meet and places to search. Plus, there are tons of fun, unique features to keep you entertained. From building your own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings, to collecting scraps of information on each character to fill your photo album. You can even play with or against other players by joining a detective club. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC through Facebook Games.